This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
National blackouts in Ukraine as Russia doubles down its assault on the country's infrastructure. From London, this is Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. After suffering a series of defeats on the battlefield, Moscow is now targeting electricity and water networks in Ukraine. President Zelensky says 30% of his country's power stations have been destroyed so far. Citizens now face national energy restrictions for the first time since the invasion, and are being told to use power banks, an alternative means of heating wherever possible. Saria Jayanti served as the energy chief at the US Embassy in Kyiv.
Ukraine was already in a situation where its power generation capacity was quite limited. There hadn't yet been a problem because consumption in Ukraine was also down. When you lose 7 million people in a refugee exodus, electricity consumption declines. And so it had declined approximately 35%, a little bit under 40%. So the grid was able to be balanced. What's happened now is that an additional number of power plants have been taken offline because of Russian shelling. And that brings the overall total drop in generation capacity to roughly a third. As of today, the numbers that we're hearing are that Ukraine will be short between 10 and 15% of its necessary electricity starting tomorrow. So that's a considerable problem. Ukraine gets cold. It gets very cold. And when you have soldiers on the front who are trying to maintain their morale and trying to push Russia back, if they cannot also be sure that their families are warm, if they themselves are not warm, this could be a serious problem for Ukraine.
Saria Jayanti there. Checking the numbers now. And Japan's currency, the yen, has weakened to its lowest level against the US dollar since 1990. Plus, China's stock market fell, with Hong Kong stocks hitting levels last seen during the 2008 financial crisis. Now to Turkey, where in a couple of hours the central bank is expected to cut interest rates. This is despite inflation topping an official figure of 80% last month. President Erdogan, meanwhile, has been rolling out a raft of policy initiatives ahead of next year's election. The BBC's Victoria Craig, a familiar voice to you, I'm sure, is in Ankara, and I asked her why the bank was acting in this way.
Turkey is sort of unlike almost any other country in the world at the moment, in that this country is prioritizing growth instead of fighting inflation. And just last month, we saw annual inflation hit 83%. So basically, what the government and the central bank are doing is using extremely targeted measures to sort of keep the economy from suffering a major crisis like the currency crash that we saw last December. But as I say, with inflation at 83%, it's still putting a lot of pressure on pocketbooks. So what the government is trying to do is sort of offset that pain by increasing minimum wage to put money back in people's pockets. The problem with that, though, is that obviously if people have more money to spend, they're going to spend it, and that ultimately helps stoke inflation too.
Can you talk us through the wider economic picture, though, and actually how this is all impacting on everyday citizens and, most importantly, on businesses as well?
It's causing a lot of pain, and it's making businesses really think twice about what they can afford, and they're having to make some really difficult decisions about price increases, too. And I spoke to a few here in the capital, Ankara, to find out really what the pain is like for them and how they're dealing with it.
Many people are living relying on their credit cards now. I think this is how they try to compensate for the difference in prices. but I don't know how long we can continue.
Meat prices have gone up about 140%. The prices of vegetables, fruits, oils have gone up sometimes even 150%.
So as you hear, there are many people relying on credit now, and this is part of President Erdogan's overall strategy, that if he keeps interest rates low, that it will allow borrowing costs to stay low. Ultimately, though, as we've learned, that has economic consequences for countries as well.
And Erdogan is facing an election next year. I mean, well, what are the thoughts of citizens with that approaching?
Well, the mood bounces around between optimism and pessimism, depending on what's happening. Of course, he is seeking re-election, as you just said. And the mood at the moment is optimistic that he will be re-elected. And a big reason for that is that the opposition is struggling to name their own candidate. The election is due to be in June, but some say that it could be brought earlier, as soon as April or even May. And basically what you have is a table of six. It's six opposition parties that are trying to come together, and they all have very different world views and very different opinions on what should happen politically and economically to this country. They all agree that economics should be the top priority. It's just a matter of which leader works best. And so when you have all of this infighting between various opposition candidates, people have grown a lot more pessimistic that there is somebody out there who can really go up against President Erdogan and that people can really coalesce around. Basically, President Erdogan's strategy at the moment is to put enough money in people's pockets that it avoids a currency collapse like we saw last year. A lot of people in the capital, a lot of economists and analysts say that as long as they can stave off some kind of catastrophic crisis like we saw last year, that will work in President Erdogan's favor. The big question is what happens after the election, if he's going to pursue a more balanced or traditional economic policy to fight inflation. Ultimately, I think, you know, walking around the country and seeing how people, you know, restaurants are still full, people are still buying things. People are very optimistic, and that's because this country has a very long history of dealing with very high inflation rates. So they just sort of have a get on with it attitude, and they're taking it day by day.
The BBC's Victoria Craig in Ankara, Turkey. Thank you.
A pleasure. Thanks, Sasha.
To South Korea now, where the traditional dish of kimchi is under threat. It's made by fermenting vegetables, mainly cabbage, but weather has caused problems growing the crop. Joe McPherson is a food writer who's been living in South Korea for more than 18 years, and he's a big fan.
You cannot have a meal without kimchi. It is not officially a meal without kimchi, ever. No. It's impossible. There are over 200 different kinds of kimchi. It's like a pickle. It has a little more of a garlicky, almost like a little bit of like a very deep taste. If it's freshly made, it tends to be sweet, but as it ferments, it gets more sour and has a lot more depth and complexity to it.
And so tell me, what is the problem with one of the main ingredients, cabbages?
We have had a cabbage shortage. So usually what kimchi factories do is they try to store cabbages in the late spring to control the prices. It turned out that they didn't store enough and they were planning on the fall harvest to come in. But the fall harvest was messed up because of some really record-breaking floods and typhoons.
So the government has now got involved with the supply. So what do they intend on doing?
It looks like they are vowing to create emergency storage centers for cabbages, because it has happened as recently as 2 years ago. Emergency planning happened and the cabbages were a couple of weeks late.
Joe, are there alternative options? Could South Korea import cabbages?
It could, and it has. Around 10 years ago or so, the president made a deal and imported the cabbages. But this was around the same time there were a lot of food safety crises in China. So people did not trust those cabbages. So that's why South Korea is thinking more about food security, does not want to depend on China or other unstable sources for its staple food products.
Given what you're saying about the availability, what sort of impact is this going to have on the price?
It did spike for a bit, but now it is starting to come down a bit. I'm hoping that we'll see larger and larger stacks of cabbages soon.
Joe McPherson in South Korea, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, if you're celebrating Diwali in Delhi, better leave the traditional firecrackers at home. City authorities say that those setting them off will face up to 6 months in prison. It's to curb pollution levels in the Indian capital. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.